And sitting opposite me now is Philippa Hammond, who is here on a mission of mercy to all you people who are frightened of public speaking. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, would you explain exactly what you do and how you come to do it?
I've been an actor for quite a long time, and in parallel, I've also done a great deal of training. And I've kind of brought all those skills together in teaching other people how to do public speaking at all different levels, but most importantly, in how to deal with the fear of public speaking. In capital letters, the fear.
That's and
the
is thing it that fear that really stops people? I can't do it. It stops people articulating.
It's, the fear is the number one thing. People are actually frightened of being frightened when it comes to public speaking. And there's all kinds of quotations. I mean, Harrison Ford says, "My greatest fear is public speaking." And he's this big action hero, film star, is what he does. And yet he's petrified of actually speaking in public. And this is the thing that people have been worried about forever. Mark Twain says there are two types of public speaker. Those who are nervous, those who are liars. And that was over 100 years ago. Yeah. So this has been known for a long time.
There's a lot more public now as well, isn't there?
Yes. Absolutely.
So what is the root of the fear, do you think?
It's so difficult to tell. I think at the bottom it's the fear of losing face, of making yourself look silly. And the thing about when you're looking silly, nobody dies. You're not in any sort of a danger. And yet you're going through exactly the same physical and psychological processes that your ancestors went through when they were hunting, fighting, running for their lives. Exactly the same stuff's happening inside us as happened to them, but we're just trying to apply it to making a little speech at a wedding or doing a training presentation.
This is the fight or flight response you're talking about.
Exactly, and
the adrenaline that kicks in and, interesting. Yeah. So people have that when they're thinking about doing a best man speech,
do absolutely.
They?
I mean, I'll be the first person to admit I get it every single time after how many years as an actor and as a trainer. Every single time I get up in front of an audience or a microphone, it doesn't matter how many people I'm talking to, I know to expect that feeling.
What do you say? I mean, I heard somebody say this and I thought maybe it carries a grain of truth. What do you say to the people who say the reason that you get a dry mouth, fear, etc., you get this fear of public speaking, is because you're actually producing something from inside of yourself and bringing it out into the open?
It's very vulnerable. You're actually presenting yourself to the public and you're asking them to like you, almost. And not like an actor who's playing somebody else, but if you're speaking in public, it's just you. And like we said, famous actors can get really petrified at being interviewed. Or you see lots of actors making a hash of their Oscar speeches because it's them standing up in front of an audience. They don't have a character. There's no lines. Nothing's written for them. And even if it is written for them, they're supposedly playing themselves and not playing a character. So I think it's part of that vulnerability, exposing yourself, so to speak, in front of an audience.
So how can... there we go. Unison. How can you help people mitigate that?
Well, I have what I like to call a three-part approach for nerve busting and confidence boosting. And it's preparing your mind and your body and your material. It all comes from having been an actor and having been a trainer. The fact that I have learned to expect those feelings, that thumping heart, that stomach churning, the inability to articulate, the trembling hands, all of that is your adrenaline. And I've come to expect it now. And I like to visualize something like, say, a space shuttle or Thunderbird 1 just taking off, that feeling that your ignition's gone on, that fuel's coursing through your veins. You've got that oomph, that energy that powers your presentation or your speech or your performance. Doesn't matter which. If you didn't have that energy, it would just go bleh. I mean, when you're presenting on the radio, if you don't have that sense of occasion, it's going to be a flat show. Whereas if you've got that little bit of, ooh, get up and go, it's going to be good. And that's exactly the same thing as the, I'm really nervous. It's the same feeling. It's just a different approach. I think a lot of it's also to do with being prepared, knowing what you're going to do and preparing yourself physically, whether you like whatever it is, or do a little warm-up exercise or like I like to, like you noticed, I was kind of jigging about to the music. And that kind of physical activity, I'm actually using the adrenaline for the reason that it wants me to use it, which is to do something physical and not just sit there going, oh, I'm feeling a bit nervous. But I'm bouncing around thinking, yeah, it's going to be good. And getting going, getting that energy up and running, that's what I need to power my performance. performance, regardless of what it is. And that's one of the things that I like to get across to all my clients when I teach them.
I heard a story about a very famous cellist, so famous, I'm afraid her name escapes me now, but...
Jacqueline Dupre,
thank you. And it concerns the fact that this guy went backstage and he saw this young, she was only young then, young cellist running backstage with this big smile on her face. And he said, oh, did it go well? She said, no, I'm just going out to play.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know, yeah. She looked forward to it yeah. so much.
Yeah, because she'd made herself think, I love this. This is what I want to do. Mm. This is what I enjoy doing. It's what I'm for. Mm. And if you can get just that a tiny amount of that feeling to someone that you're helping to make perhaps their first presentation or their first performance, then you can really sow the seeds of someone who's going to love getting up in front
that's
of an
right.
audience.
That's right.
So a lot of it to do is mind over matter.
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Really changing the way you think of it. Because so often I'll hear people say, actors will say, oh, I'm not very good at sight reading. I tend to make a mess of the first rehearsals. Mm. And it's as though they're shooting themselves in the foot immediately by programming themselves to fail. Mm. Whereas I like to encourage people to say, no, it's going to be good. I can do this. Mm. I'm going to imagine myself doing the best I possibly can. And you're more likely to achieve what you've imagined. Mm. And if it's a good imagination, well, hopefully that's what you're going to achieve.
It's a terribly British pastime, isn't it, being self-effacing? Yeah, we don't like to be arrogant or say our American cousins who have no problem in saying I am good at this and I'm going to prove it. It's almost a cultural thing. Having said that, what's your success rate with your clients?
Well, I always get at the end of it really good feedback from people who said, you know what, I really enjoyed that. I didn't realise that I looked and sounded as good as I do. And those pauses were nowhere near as long as I thought they were going to be. And, can I do another one? Mm. And that tends to be the reaction people
that
get.
Absolutely marvellous.
So how do people get in touch with you, Pippa?
Well, I've got a brand new website called www.speakingwellinpublic.co.uk. And people can contact me through then and read all about my various courses there.
Okay. Well, good luck with it. And thank you ever so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
Can you just give us that website one more time so that people can get it down?
Yeah, I'm Philippa Hammond and it's www.speakingwellinpublic.co.uk.
Easy. Simple. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.